Good morning and welcome to Cox Media Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. My name is Susie Hanks. Nationally, Easter Seals is the leading nonprofit provider of services for people with autism, developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, other special needs, and newly disabled veterans. For more than 68 years, Easter Seals Greater Houston has been offering help, hope, and answers to people of all ages with disabilities and their families. And so with us today, we have Kelly Klein and Lauren Brennan with Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Hi, ladies.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You
morning.
Bet. Nice to have you. Thank you very much for coming. We oftentimes do our show with you around Easter, but Easter really was a part of your past, but it's a little different now, and a lot of people don't realize that you are active all year long and not just Easter. So let's talk about Easter Seals and kind of the history of Easter Seals.
Well, I think that originally Easter Seals was created kind of as a thought process, like United Way helps other agencies. Easter Seals was originally created as a Easter seal that went on an envelope, so that back when people wrote letters, so that you could show that you were helping another organization. And they allowed agencies that help people with disabilities to sell those labels, to sell those seals. And that obviously is not the case anymore. And so Easter Seals itself has become a programming headquartered in Chicago with 120 something affiliates.
Yeah, and it's not just recently that you did that. I mean, that's just the beginning, which was
historically.
But you have been involved in so much more for so long, and especially here in Greater Houston, and you do such good. Tell me about where you are. Where are your facilities at?
Our main office is in Bel Air, but we have 10 outreach offices that are spread from Liberty County down to Clear Lake and out to Fort Bend, simply because we want to make sure that all of our parents and clients can access our program is no matter where they are.
Yeah. How many counties do you serve?
Five.
Five different area counties. And how many people are you working with every year? Do you have
Last year we served over 30,000.
Wow, 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. Give me an idea of the people who are coming in and who you're helping.
We are helping a really broad spectrum of people. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that are below poverty level, and that's simply due to caregiving issues and medical bills. If you have a baby and it's born premature, you got to deal with all the hospital bills and everything else that's going on. If they're diagnosed with something, then maybe somebody has to give up their job, which means there's one more less person who's got an insurance policy in place. So there are a lot of families that are really dealing at crisis levels of poverty. But then you also have this whole segment of the middle income people who make too much to get help from the government, but they don't make enough money to actually cover what their child needs. I mean, everybody, great, we have insurance, it's fabulous. We're very lucky to have it. But like my husband came home a couple of weeks ago and he was so irritated because they had cut off his physical therapy for his elbow surgery, which was only 10 sessions. And I was like, And we've been married for 13 years, and you're just now getting the fact that a child with a disability may only get 10 to 13 sessions a year, which is not going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
So those parents are paying out of pocket weekly, monthly, for as many as it takes. It could be speech, occupational, physical, all at the same time, or it could be just one. But still, it's expensive.
Right. So you help with a lot of the services and also with putting people in touch with other places that are helping.
Absolutely.
And there really are so many different resources around the Houston area, aren't there?
Yeah, we're connected across Houston. Like, we have good relations with Texas Children's Hospital. They're a corporate sponsor this year. And we really just try and find the best fit for our clients because we want to supply them with everything they could have, but if someone comes in and they have a relative with Alzheimer's, that's not Easter Seals Greater Houston's forte. And so we have good relationships with other organizations that can best serve them because disability comes in all shapes and forms and we're all touched by disability in different ways.
Right. And it's not just children. You deal with a lot of adults, as you said, Alzheimer's. Also, one of the big growing sections that you are serving are veterans. Tell me about that.
Really excited to be in veterans right now. We got help through John Eagle Honda, one of our favorite. Mac DeLoff is one of our favorite people, and he helped us 3 years ago with the seed money to get into veteran services. So nationally, Easter Seals is one of the largest provider of Easter Seals of veteran services in the United States, which somehow nobody knows. It's something that we really, really wanted to do when we affiliated with Easter Seals. And he helped us get the seed money to launch into service dogs. And so right now we're on our 8th service dog. We're very excited to be doing that. And we just got a huge Department of Health and Human Services grant. So we have a collaborative called the Texas Veterans and Family Alliance that is all about mental health for the family members and the veteran. And it's going to be an amazing collaborative because it's kind of like what Lauren just said. It's a full circle, one-stop shopping. So maybe what the portion that we're doing is not going to be able to help you, but we've got 20 or 50 other collaborative partners that are going to be able to feed you into instead of you're having to reinvent the wheel and find that place that's going to help you.
Right. So that's exciting. And I know that there are so many different needs from veterans and their families, but the service dogs is kind of a super cool topic. Tell me about you said you've done 8. Tell me about the process there and how that's worked out.
Most recently we had, what is the lady's name?
Tanola.
We have a woman veteran who just actually came to a luncheon of ours to speak, and her story was so amazing because she's so young and vibrant, and you see her and hear her talk, and you realize she's already done 3 tours. How is that physically possible, wow, first of all? And so the amount of things that she is dealing with is you know, PTSD and brain damage and all this different stuff is just, it's more than I could almost comprehend while she was talking.
Wow. What service is she in? Do you remember?
She was in the Air Force.
Air Force. Wow. And so we had paired her with, what is her name, Neva?
Oh, it is.
Lovey?
Nessa.
Mm-hmm.
Nessa. That's a cross between Neva and Lovey, isn't it?
Something like that. Somehow. Anyway, so she was telling us what this dog has allowed her to do. The process is really, it's about $25,000 for us to be able to get the dog, have the dog trained, obviously veterinary bills. Village Vet has been amazing trying to help us with getting services for our dogs. Talking to a couple of dog food companies about underwriting the dog food. Everybody wants to help veterans. So it's been a real blessing to see everybody come out and really want to help with this program.
So tell me about her and the dog, and how did they get paired up? And how do you decide who's going to get the dog?
It really comes from, you know, who's approached us, obviously, and whether we have the funding at the time and what their ability to be involved in the training is. We work with My Service Dog out of Montgomery County, and Allie Keaton is the trainer out there. She's very 100%, you have to train this dog. This is not her dog. This has nothing to do with her. You have to be there. So if you're not able to be there 100%, if your family members aren't able to be there 100%, it's a lot to ask. We realize a lot of veterans are unemployed and looking for different options and stuff already, but it is something that is very important, because if it's not trained with their human, it's never going to work. Right. So that's probably the biggest hurdle we've had.
Yeah. So tell me how they got paired up and how she applied and the process of getting her the dog.
So she came through, you know, basically a friend of a friend. She was recommended, and Allie had met her, and we'd met her, and we just so happened to know that we had the funding for a dog at that moment, and it just seemed like a really good pairing. And obviously we go through more questions, and you know, there's more to it than that, but it's really just a lot of good timing and referral.
Yeah. And so what does the dog do for her?
These dogs are like, if you can, go to my Facebook and just go to Facebook and look at My Service Dog, because what Allie teaches these dogs is from, you know, taking your socks off and getting bottles of water out of the refrigerator to just understanding, you know, when they're in a stressful situation. And there's so many veterans that suffer from PTSD, and they get overwhelmed when there's a big crowd. And these dogs are, whether it's innate or training, know to remove their human at that time to get them out of whatever is triggering their stress. Mm-hmm. It really is. We've got kids that have seizure disorder and epilepsy, and these dogs know when they're going to have seizures and have the and lay down with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that dogs are—they're just so much more attuned than we ever give them credit for, and for them to be able to do this with these people is really amazing.
Yeah. My dog is very attuned to me, but he uses it for evil and manipulates me instead of helping me. So there's a difference. But yeah, they really do know you and they figure you out and they have an idea what you need. So how long have they been together? Do you know?
Not that long.
Yeah, it's just been a few months. And Nessa is still actually in training. Tanola shared at the Hats Off to Mother's Luncheon that, you know, Nessa is only 8 months old, but she's already been such a positive impact on Tanola's life. And it's just kind of awesome to see that this dog that's in training has already helped her make so much progress that she can go be in a room of, you know, so many women and then go up on stage and give a speech and just share what her journey has been. And, you know, Nessa was right there. And I don't know if that could have been possible before.
True. Yeah. Yeah. And what did she give you examples or stories or tell you anything about what the dog and had meant to her, had done for her?
I think it was just that she was there and it was a lot of, you know, emotional things that she went through. And so just being in a environment where she would become overwhelmed and feel very isolated in that. Mm-hmm. And Nessa just alleviating that and having her there has already helped even just through the training process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. We are talking with Kelly Klein and Lauren Brennan with Easter Seals. This group that helps, all different people with all different kinds of just disabilities. And we're talking about the focus lately that you have been giving to veterans and helping their families. What kinds of things do veterans and their families come to you looking for besides the service dog aspect? What are some of the other things that you can help them with?
I think there's a lot of reentry problems. And it's, you know, a lot of times you think with the veterans, it's reentry for the veterans themselves. But really, it's the entire family. I mean, you know, the kids are used to mom or dad, whoever's at home, being the authoritative figure and not answering to the other parent. Or mom is used to being the authoritative parent and not having to worry about somebody else. So it's a real reentry for everybody. And it really does cause a crisis within the family when you're kind of rejuggling the way everything works. And you're so happy to have this person home, but at the same time, it's a stressor. So we have a lot of case managers and counselors that can help just talking with the family, figuring out there's other things for the family to be doing, obviously leading into employment and other resources that are out there that might, you know, need to be helping the family.
Yeah, figuring things out financially and
housing and bills and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, stuff that everybody deals with, but that just is a huge hurdle or kind of mixes it all up, puts all the stuff that everybody else deals with and puts it in a blender and makes it even just more
exactly.
difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they give you a call and you kind of help dispatch that. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have some amazing staff members that are counseling and doing case management for the veterans, as well as obviously the service dog, but also we had our first. So what I talked about was the Texas Veterans and Family Alliance Collaborative. And we had our first convening about 2 weeks ago. And a convening was basically a conference in Military Speak. So we had all the collaborative partners there talking, trying to figure out what is missing. I mean, most of the people that are involved with the collaborative partners are veterans themselves. So they know firsthand, this is what I needed when I came back. And this piece is missing. Who can take that on? Who's got staff already present to figure that out? How do we arrange this? It really was an amazing thing to have been a part of.
Yeah.
Everybody was really excited when they came out of it.
How long have you been kind of doing the veteran focus? How many years is it?
I think three or four. We started with the veterans with John Eagle, and it wasn't until about 2 years ago. We got a grant from the George Foundation in Fort Bend to start case management in Fort Bend, and then we got this collaborative grant. So within the last year, so we're really actually still just, you know, stepping into it with this new grant. So.
And are you finding that there's still a whole lot more need, and you have a lot of people that you want to be able to help? So you have different goals for that program, or?
I think so. I think that there's a constant group of people that are coming to us looking for assistance. I think that we have been very lucky with the collaborative partners that we have so many ways that we can help them. I haven't really heard of any stories that there wasn't anybody that we could help, we couldn't help. So we're really excited that it's going really well, because obviously we're hoping that we can continue to get this grant money and just build on it.
How do you get the word out to veterans?
They themselves are very good at it.
Good.
It's amazing. There's such a community, and they are just, I mean, I watch it on Facebook. Yeah. It just spreads like fire. I think they're some of the best communicators I've ever seen. I wish we had, you know, I wish our press like worked like that all the time.
You know, for all of the bad rap that social media and press and Facebook can get, this is really something that Facebook is great at, is hooking people up with people with services and different organizations that can help them, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you, the Easter Seals has, you focus a lot on Facebook and on the social media. You find that's a great way to get word out to them, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We, you know, we're trying to reach people in every way, because it's, you know, like we said, like we're serving from the brand new parent that had their baby came out early. They have a preemie, to someone that is helping their teen kind of adjust to like things all teens deal with on top of having a disability to work with, people with their siblings or adult children that are in need of services. So we're just trying to be able to reach everyone in every which way, whether it's an e-blast or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. And it's really just a great way for people to share information with a friend of a friend of a friend that needs that service.
Right. One of the things that you really are great at too is your children's therapy program. Tell me about that.
We love our children's therapy program. Our children's therapy program came out of early intervention, which is a mandated program that's 0 to 36 months. If a child has a disability or is a delay, they're entered into this program. And at the end of 36 months, they are into the school system or they're on their own for therapy. And so our families just loved our therapists so much that we didn't want to let our families go. So we basically took over at 36 months. We created our own children's therapy services in our offices, and so our families can stay with us. And it's just really been tremendous to watch. I was actually thinking of a little boy that has actually raised money for one of the events that we're getting ready to talk about, but that has been in the ECI program and then went to the children's therapy program and is in our, you know, our agency video, and he's on pictures everywhere and he's the cutest thing you've ever seen in your whole life. And when he first came to us, he was definitely disabled and had cerebral palsy and was in a wheelchair. And he is, I think he's almost 13 years old at this point. His voice is changing. He comes talk to us and it's just like kind of makes me a little queasy because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like growing into a man, you know? And we watched him get out of the wheelchair and onto a walker. And then we watched him get out of the walker into, like not canes, what is the
braces,
word?
Kind braces. Of the braces, yeah.
And now he's in karate.
Wow.
I mean, he is not even in just our adapted karate class. He's in karate, and he's not worried about people bullying him because of our play therapy groups. And he's not worried about all this different stuff that the whole cycle of our programs has taken care of for him. And then he and his family want to give back, you know, through our events now, because they realize they wouldn't have never been able to do it on their own. And I think it's such a family-oriented place. And for him to be able to go to children's therapy and know that all of us surrounding him are behind him is, you know, we're the fundraisers. We're not therapists. But he's coming to see us just as much as he's coming to see the therapist, because we're part of his family.
Yeah. So what are some of the different aspects in the children's therapy program that you have?
They do all on-site occupational, physical, and speech therapy, and they have a lot of accreditations, a lot of certifications for doing real specialized therapy that not necessarily everybody can do in Houston. We also have what's called suit therapy that is a really amazing program that is very intensive and really does amazing things for the kids. And we also have a school next door. So really what's cool is if they're enrolled in the school, which is really for medically fragile kids, it's kind of alleviating one more run for parents. Because, you know, you imagine if you're a parent of, you know, if you're a child, you're a parent, period. You're a taxi. Then you add in disability. So you're not only just the regular taxi, but you're also going to the pediatrician and this therapist and then that therapist and then the hospital and then back to the diagnostician and then blah, blah, blah. So if we got the school and the clinic right next to each other, it's like half a day's work journey that is just, you know, across the hall, and they don't even have to worry about it.
Right, right. It's an incredible gift. Is it the school you're talking about, the Caroline School?
Caroline School.
Well, let's talk about the Caroline School, because that's an incredible shining beacon that you have going there.
We do. The Caroline School was started because one of our board members, Elizabeth DeLuca, had a daughter named Caroline who unfortunately passed last year, who was just... She herself was a shining light, and she was born, they thought originally with cerebral palsy, and then they realized she had some epilepsy, and then they realized it's purely because Elizabeth and her husband were such advocates that just kept pushing for a different diagnosis. They realized that she actually had a chromosomal anomaly. So as she got older, it progressively got worse. And she's as smart as all of us in this room, and she deserved to have an education like all of us are in this room. Just a lot harder for anybody outside of what we do specialty-wise to do that for her. Like, you know, there are kids that have G-tubes and feeding tubes and oxygen and need shots during the day and need their diapers changed and they might weigh 100 pounds or that other schools cannot handle. So these kids are getting one-on-one, two-on-one again with teachers and aides, and they're getting their treatment there. And it is really amazing to see what these kids, you know, they might have come to us having lost 100 words in regular school system. And in 6 months, not only have they gained 100 words, but they've surpassed another year and a half. So just giving them the tools that they need personally, mm-hmm. not that every other kid needs, but personally, those tools is what their success is.
And how many kids are going to Caroline School?
We have a license up to 25, and I think right now we have 17.
17. So there is room there.
There is room.
Yeah, yeah. And how do people, get into the Caroline School? Is it just need, or is it, you have some criteria?
You know, obviously, it requires a cost. We do have a scholarship. That's what Lauren and I are here for. We are fundraisers. We do ask, you know, there's a scholarship sliding kind of scale. It is because it is such a small school, has to be a fit. We cannot take kids that are behaviorally a serious problem, because we have a lot of kids that can't actually even verbally say that they're not being able to defend themselves. So it's a one-on-one case basis to see if the child fits. I mean, literally our age is 0 through 21. And it's broken down by skill level, not by age level. So it just really comes down to the fit.
Yeah. And when you say 21, then you also have a lot of services that you do for adults, such as Alzheimer's. You help people and caregivers with that. But some of the other adult programs or adult things that you help with.
Yeah. So, you know, we have teen camps, and then there's such a connection between Easter Seals and our clients that a lot of them go into. We have a young adult program and an adult program, so it kind of can just be something that they stay with. They meet 2 days a week each, and it's a big group. They have fun there. There's also a bowling program we go through on Saturdays. They have a ton of fun there. I think the guy that runs it, Donald, loves it more than they do. So we just have a really good community there. And then, you know, the adults are, you know, friends that met when they were going to Camp Buckaroo and then Camp Smiles and then Camp Most. And now they're, you know, coming together as adults. And an adult program can be really hard because a lot of people lose a lot of resources once they age out of the school system. And this is just a great resource that they can come to. And it's completely free and much needed by many people in our community. Yeah.
And you have resources for parenting classes, too, because these parents who are dealing with these situations are in need of that. And then also family and caregiver services and respites and things like that, too. So
kind of try to make everybody. It so that every member of the family is supported in some way.
We are talking with Kelly Klein and Lauren Brennan with Easter Seals, and we keep alluding to this great fundraiser that's coming up, mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. It's the big walk you have coming up, because this is one of the main fundraisers that you guys have during the year, so tell me about this.
It's really historically the most successful fundraiser we've ever had in 70 years. So And it's timing is perfection because we really needed it. There's been so many federal and state budget cuts that our budget is just, it's just being hacked away at. So to have an event like this that we started 5 years ago, hoping that, you know, 200 people would show up the first year and had 2,500 people walking last year is and raising a gross of $500,000, which is amazing for us. That allows us to keep so many of our programs running. And it is Saturday, April 29th this year. It's at the Houston Zoo, so it's totally accessible for everybody.
Great.
When we first started talking about it, I thought, oh, you know, Komen and all those great things are out on the streets. And I thought, can you imagine? We're talking like curb cuts for people's in wheelchairs, porta potties. How do you even manage your, you know, how do you even wrap your head around that? And we landed on the Houston Zoo. It was like the answer to all of our prayers because it's just there and it's perfect. And it means a day for the family in the zoo. So you raise the funds that we ask you to raise and then you're in the zoo and we have an after party. And after the after party's over, you're still in the zoo. So it's a great day.
Yeah.
And our walkers are our donors, our sponsors, but they're also our clients. So you're walking right alongside the kids that you're helping.
Yeah.
And the adults.
And that's coming up on the 29th. Tell me about registration.
So walkwithmehouston.org is the website. You can register up to 2 days before the event online. If you don't register before then, you can go directly to the zoo at the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and register right there. We require, 12
and under are free to the zoo, and 13 and older require $50 of you donating or fundraising. Like we said about the social media, share it. You never know who has been touched by Easter seals and would love to donate.
That really is true, isn't it? When you're talking about it, somebody will say, oh, I needed that or I had help with that, and it really does open up the conversation there, and people will give who you may not even really know well, but because that's near and dear to their heart. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's coming up on the 29th, and people can register and do it that day. How many are you? What's your goal this year?
Our goal is 3,000. And I think we'll be right there. It's usually an absolutely beautiful day. We have amazing corporate partners, John Eagle Honda again, and make sure that every single dollar that is raised goes towards programming. He covers, with one of his promotional things that he does during the year, he covers entry for all the walkers.
Yeah.
So every cent of the $50 plus that we hope you raise is going directly to our programming.
Yeah. And this year, Prosperity Bank is presenting, and then the lead sponsors are the McNair Foundation.
You guys have some great corporate sponsor partnerships that you have developed relationships with wonderful people, but you also rely a lot on people doing these kinds of walks and also just people donating, and you have a lot of need for that as well. So if somebody is listening and they don't want to go to the walk or they can't participate in the walk, they can still help you out.
Mm-hmm. They can donate if you've already written down Walk With Me Houston, you can donate online there. But you can also go to our website, which is EasterSealsGreaterHouston.org. That doesn't sound right.
EasterSealsHouston.org.
Easter Seals Houston. If you just Google Easter Seals Houston, you come right up. It's super duper easy to find. So, yeah.
And there's a donate page there too. You can donate right there.
Yeah. And also you welcome volunteers and mentors as well too. So if somebody wants to participate that way, there's a way that you can find to do that too. Yes.
Yeah, we year round we could really use whether you're a mentor for our, you know, young teens that have a disability that really just kind of want to get plugged into different careers, or if you want to come volunteer at the walk, or if you want to come to family day out so that parents or caregivers can have some moments to rest and recollect, we could use you year round. So EasterSealsHouston.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And get out there and walk. Thank you very much. We've been talking with Lauren Brennan and Kelly Klein with Easter Seals. It's so good to have you here once again and so good to see you. And you do such a wonderful job. And I'm always so incredibly taken by how passionate I can tell you are, but how much you love what you do and the people that you do it for. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks, and you have been listening to FYI.